Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And now here is Stephen Stone.
And thank you very much. Good afternoon. Welcome into our Straight Talk program for this Wednesday afternoon that we broadcast from Substation 2 on Cherry Road here across from Winthrop University. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Good Pharmacy is with us today, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Now, for the first-time listeners, Straight Talk is a program that is an award-winning public affairs program, so say it, the South Carolina Broadcast Association, where we talk about all things Rock Hill, Fort Mill, TK, your county, whatever is happening up and down I-77. You'll hear about it here with the movers and shakers and newsmakers that make it all happen, including my special guest today, a good friend of us at the radio station, Rock Hill City Councilwoman Nikita Jackson. Good to see you again. You look ravishing, darling.
Well, thank you. You as well, darling.
Thank you much. So what's new? What have you been up to?
Oh, my God. Where do you want to start?
Well, okay. Let's talk about the I'm curious about something. A couple weeks ago, our dear friend, Reverend C.T. Kirk, put together a march. Okay, the Black Lives Matter march down at Fountain Park in Rock Hill. Like 1,000 folks came out, and you were among them. And it was a very peaceful march. There was no problems, no incidents. Turned around and did it about like a week later on a Sunday evening, or this past Sunday, I think it was. Again, without incident. Yet you turn on your television set, and you see the rest of America, and they don't seem to get it. Do we need to send Reverend Kirk out there to the hinterlands, or...
I think we do, just to let people know that, you know, love exists and love conquers and heals all things. And just let them see how we're doing it here in Rock Hill, how we're actually coming together, wanting to sit down at the table to hear both sides and to hear what's going on and just to talk it out, you know. A lot of times it just takes listening and talking out your differences to understand.
That makes sense to me. Now, when I first came here back in 1999, as I was getting off the interstate and coming down Davao Boulevard, I was struck by a sign that I saw that said, "No room for racism." And I thought, that's a good message. You know, it's very poignant. But why would they have to do that? And then, of course, you know, you do a little studying and you learn the history and French of Nine and you know, the general history of the South, and then you understand why they would be saying, okay, this is not tolerated here. I understand that there is a No Room for Racism committee.
There was a No Room for Racism committee. I think there were a couple committees that combined together, and now they're called the I can't even say it right. Community Race Reconciliation Council.
Okay.
And there's that group combined together, and I think that's a board of about 13 to 15 people, and they bring light to racial issues, racial awareness, and if I'm not mistaken, they've helped put on certain events here in the city of Rock Hill regarding race awareness.
So they're still doing well and going strong and all that.
They are. I think the Juneteenth committee is a branch off of this group as well. I do know that Race Reconciliation Week that we have later part of this year, they are very instrumental in putting that event on. It's a week-long event spotlighting various ethnicity groups here in the city of Rock Hill and just all over.
Right.
So they do a lot of work here, a lot of work during Black History Month. Went to several events that they sponsored, which were great events. So, yeah, they're still up and running.
Okay. Now, at the march for the Black Lives Matter, you were approached by a number of citizens and folks that were there at the march about getting together a committee, as it were, you know, to work with the police department on accountability and that sort of thing. I guess, in spite of the fact that Rock Hill has a nationally accredited police department, which is like, you know, they're in that 15% of national police departments that are accredited by that. How is that all coming along?
Well, you know, I have, in the beginning, after the march, I did have a lot of people, you know, reach out to me and contact me, thinking that I was spearheading it. And one thing I would like to say is that I was approached and asked, how did I feel about a citizens review board? And I told them wholeheartedly that I would support one. And so Pastor Kurt and myself, we did have a conversation, and I said, you know, CT, anyone that comes to me, I'm going to direct them to you, which he's been directing people to Apostolic Gray, so that those who want to be involved can be involved. And something that I said throughout several interviews on that Saturday was that I want people to understand that this isn't going to be something that's going to be birthed overnight. There's going to be a lot of hard work, dedication, and a lot of sweat equity put into creating the best citizen review board that will benefit the needs of Rock Hill, South Carolina. And then we can move on to let people know this is how it works, you know. So yes, I'm very supportive of it. I don't think there's a problem with having another layer of transparency, which offers another layer of trust. So, yes, wholeheartedly, I would support a Citizens Review Board.
Now, right after the first march that was held downtown at Fountain Park, Mayor John Geddes and, of course, Chief Chris Watts of the Rock Hill City Police Department got together and did I want to call it a virtual town hall, so to speak. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it was great. The reason that I think it was great, because for those who really didn't know what our police department have done and what they're continuing to do, it brought light to all of the hard work and dedication that they put into making the police department the great organization. And so it answered a lot of unanswered questions that people had. A lot of people may not have known we were in this accredited program, but now they do know, and they heard it firsthand from Chief Watts, the things that we currently do and that we've already, the measures that we've already implemented to make sure that we have the best police department. But again, you can never have too many layers of, you know, trust, transparency out there. So anything that we can do to make the situation better, then I think that's the right direction to be moving in. And, you know, it's just great to know that those guys are already doing those things. You know, some of the measures are already put in place. But, you know, every organization can be better.
And it makes you feel good to know also that you're, you know, on the local level here, that you're sort of, I guess, for lack of a better term, ahead of the curve, as it were, because of the things that you just mentioned.
That's right.
They've already been doing. It's common practice for them, whether it's the body cameras on the officers, along with the cameras that are in the units and how they're set to automatically go off.
That's
even
right.
A loud noise will cause these things to come on and start, you know, recording.
Yeah, and then knowing that, you know, another officer coming on the scene, once they're on the scene, that their camera automatically comes on so that you can have, you know, footage from a different angle and from a different viewpoint as well. So there are those measures that are currently in place that makes it work. But again, all organizations can strive to be better.
Well, absolutely. But this is expensive hardware we're talking about here when we start talking about body cameras and in-car cameras and all that. So what kind of sense would it make to push to defund police departments, you think, on a national level?
Well, now that's on a national level.
Yeah.
That's not something that I would support here on a local level. And that's just because we do need the police. And I say that because I get a lot of calls, you know, saying, hey, Ms. Jackson, this is going on. What do you do? Call the police. You know, so there are a lot. As far as defunding our local police, that's not something I will support. And I will say I will not support that, because we do. There is a need to have the police, you know, present here in our city to help those who are in need, that they're there to protect and serve. And so wholeheartedly, I would not support defunding our police department. But again, having measures in place to make things better, I'm supporting that 100%.
What sort of measures would you like to see in, I guess, the local level in our case?
You know, I do, since being elected to city council, you know, I have received calls from citizens saying, well, Ms. Jackson, I don't think things were handled correctly. And my question would be, how do you think it should have been handled? You know, let's sit down and talk about it. And I will say the one thing that I have heard and I do know is that anytime you call Chief Watts, you know, he's willing to sit down with you and talk about it or talk about any situation. And I've also heard those stories where people have gone to, you know, the police to talk about some things, but like I tell people, it's all about your presentation, and also just make sure you're going there with an open ear, willing to listen and to understand. And I tell people, in one of my hashtags that I post whenever I post stuff on Facebook, trust the process. You know, trust the process, that the process is going to work. But then when it doesn't work, then we have those measures in place so that we can go back and say, well, what happened? Why didn't it work? Or what went wrong? Or what did we do this time around that we can, you know, moving forward, know not to do, or we can do differently.
Now, Reverend Kirk is also going to be having a March for Children coming up. I'm not sure when that date is. I may have missed that part of the story. That is going to focus on such things as bullying, which seems to be one of those problems also that has been survived time immemorial. You know, we all remember the bully when we were in school and all that, and hopefully it wasn't one of us. But, you know, they were there, you know. In fact, funny story was the guy that I remember as a bully in elementary school later became a Catholic priest and has done very well through the years and is a great guy, you know. So it just shows you that people can grow and, you know, get with the program, as it will. I think that's a brilliant idea to do something that would, like that, with the children, because they're being exposed to these stories and they're hearing about all this, whether it's through television or radio and all that, and maybe not grasping what the whole situation is, but yet then, you know, they go to school or they have a fear of going to school or wherever because of the classroom bully or who have you. I think that this march is a brilliant idea.
I think so too. You know, and with COVID-19 hitting us, you know, we're in this pandemic. Hopefully a lot of families have had time to sit down and have meaningful conversations with one another, because that's all we've had to do is spend time with one another and reinvent how we do things now. So I hope that in conjunction with what Pastor Kirk is trying to do, that families have sat down and really had heart-to-heart meaningful conversations with our children to talk about, because guess what? In the last 6 months, we've had a lot to happen, and a lot of things that, you know, instead of parents working and the kids, you know, having to research on social media about what's going on, now we can sit down as a family and talk to our kids about what's going on. And I was at my brother's church in Greensboro, and one of the sermon that his pastor had that day, the message was, we need to get back to those front porch conversations. Mm-hmm. And that's what, and I think during this pandemic and everything shutting down, that a lot of families have gone back to the front porch conversations, you know, having those conversations, as we call them, Big Mama and Pop, you know. Yeah. And so just to hear from the older generation and to get a true understanding, and during my time period, you know, we didn't have all this stuff to keep us preoccupied. We were running up and down the street going from my grandmother's house to my great-grandmother's house, and that's where we got our education and learning from.
That's right. I always hung out with the women in the family. They always knew so much more than the men did, you know. The women were always more in touch, and they'd sit on the porch and just chat, and we'd be little kids playing in the background and just kind of soaking it all in like the little sponges that we were. But we have gotten away from that with the technology and everything else. I remember when everyone, you know, when the phone would ring inside, nobody would want to move to get it, you know.
That's right.
I mean, Now, you know, it's on your person. I mean, you don't have to get up to go answer the phone.
You don't. And Lord forbid if you leave your phone somewhere or you forgot to bring it and packed it with your stuff to go to work, you're just at a complete loss.
You really are. You're absolutely right. I had mine in my pocket today and missed two calls because I had it on vibrate, and I guess it didn't just vibrate enough, or I made me needing to go on a diet because I didn't feel the vibrating
feel it,
or anything,
right?
And I missed a call, and then when I looked at it, I was like, oh, my God, I missed this call. I got to call him back, you know. But it is astounding. We're with Rock Hill City Councilwoman Nikita Jackson. We're going to take our mid-program break right now because she's been looking forward to this part the entire time she's been here, and I'll explain that in a moment. Yes, Straight Talk brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders, also Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our streaming, as always, provided by HighSpeedWeb.net. Not sure if I mentioned it at the beginning of the show, but there it is. And as always, we broadcast live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road. This is the part that she's been looking forward to, where they make fresh subs and salads right before your very eyes. And the way they do it, Councilwoman, is
slice, 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 slice,
garden, 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 garden. We're back after this.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
The food, the number 19 is the best.
When I want lunch, I come to Substation 2 because I can't remember never not coming here.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, emergency room director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Cruise to financial freedom with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. With our low rates, there's no better time to apply. Get a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days by applying for your auto loan early so you know what to look for before you start shopping. You can also use our auto loan calculator and Founders Online to set your budget and plan ahead. Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are with our Straight Talk program for this Wednesday afternoon. Stephen Stone in for the vacationing Manny Kimmel. For you Kimmel fans, he's back Monday, so settle down out there. Nikita Jackson, Rock Hill City Councilwoman and dear friend of us at the radio station, is with us this afternoon and talking about a myriad of subjects, of course, in particular, the Citizens Advisory Board that we talked about at the beginning of the show. And I'm just curious, you know, Councilwoman, is there a plan as to when they'll be bringing that before the whole city council?
Well, what has occurred at our last city council meeting, you know, we did talk about it during miscellaneous session on our agenda. And the comment that I made was that I think, you know, we should look into having a citizens review board. So staff agreed. David Vihan has really taken this under his wing and having staff to go out and research various citizens review board and see what they look like. And again, knowing that it's going to take a lot of work. And so staff will report back to us as council at our first meeting in August and bring back what their findings are and go from there. But there are other people who are working on what other citizens review boards looks like as well. And so I've had conversations with them as well and say, you know, just know that it's going to take the meeting of the mind, coming, sitting down at the table and having several conversations about what a citizens review board actually looks like, and then piecing one together that's going to benefit the city of Rock Hill, that's going to be added to what we currently have. And again, you know, Chief Watts, they're doing a great job over there, but again, having another layer of transparency and another layer of trust doesn't hurt.
This is something that can also be of help to them, though, Chief Watts and the Rock Hill Police, right?
Oh yeah, it can. It can be. One of the meetings that I did attend, there was a comment that was made. You know, we're going to have a look at everything, and every complaint may not need to escalate to the higher level. So that could be like an educational tool for people who do have complaints and say, hey, maybe things could have worked differently had this happened or this occurred. So, yeah, it can work for both sides, the police as well as citizens here.
It's not like we're looking to reinvent the wheel.
No, and it's not, and again, it's not going to point the finger at the police saying all police are bad, all police, because all police aren't bad.
No, they're not.
And all people aren't bad.
Right.
But, you know, again, just having that extra layer of transparency. So, I told everybody, let's just be willing to sit down at the table. Just know that this isn't going to be something that's birthed overnight. And everybody gets that, you know. Mm-hmm. Rome wasn't built in the day.
That's right.
The battle wasn't won alone. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we just got to know that if this is something that's going to work and work for the city of Rock Hill, in which we always do things great here in the city of Rock Hill, this too is going to take some time. And it's too going to take some hard work. And, you know, I tell everybody, be ready for the sweat equity. And so you'll know who's going to be on board, who ready to put in that sweat equity.
You can sort them out real quick with that,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. You most definitely can.
Absolutely.
And so.
And one of the big stories that we've been having this week, of course, you know, we're in the South, and we are the gateway to the South, if you will, has been the efforts underway, of course, with Winthrop University wanting to rename Tillman Hall, that is named after a former South Carolina governor, and with a rather nefarious, you know, history. And Clemson University's already done it. And what are your thoughts on that? As a matter, I mean, you know, they're going after statues of Robert E. Lee and this and that, and Calhoun has been removed the name at Clemson from, I guess, one of their buildings there. There's an effort to rename Confederate Park, which is just down the street from the radio station there on North Confederate Avenue. But the suggestion of Friendship Park or Friendship 9 Park, what are your thoughts on the renaming of parks and buildings and things of that nature?
You know, I was just asked this question on yesterday.
Okay.
And my comment was Confederate Park is in Ward 3.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going to allow Ward 3 council member to handle that.
Spoken, you know, like a politician.
So I think I take care of Ward 5 pretty, pretty good.
Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, again, that's in Ward 3, so I'll just go ahead and yield to Ward 3 for them to handle that.
Take the politician's answer? Is that it?
That's the politician answer.
Okay. What's the personal, you know, my friend Nikita thought on the matter?
Okay, I did just
in
post
general
that
stuff.
This is a new show, Stephen and Nikita show.
Right, well, so. Nikita and Stephen show, yeah.
So we're going to go. Personally, you and I talked before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love.
Yeah, exactly.
Love conquers a multitude of all things.
Yeah.
And so I think if we handle a lot of situations with a lot more love, that things could be handled a totally different way. Deep down, yeah, there is some deep down rooted issues. I would be lying if I said that
sure.
There wasn't. But again, I think if we just be willing to sit down at the table and just talk, and you know, you may realize that we do have more things alike than we do differently. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just with anything. I'm not talking about black and white. I'm just any issues that's going on. If we could sit down and talk about it, you may find out there are more things that we have alike than we do have different.
Yeah, but you're going to have to vote on this renaming of parks and things of that nature, right? Even though it's in Ward 3?
You know, and if we do, we'll tackle that when the time comes.
Well, I guess what I'm really asking you, dear friend, is how would you vote?
I can't say. At the moment, I need to be presented with some more additional information, and at this moment in time, I haven't thought about that because I've had to deal with so many other issues, and just being involved, just having to deal with everything that's going around the world globally, you know, right. The pandemic, you know, the killing of George Floyd, you know, and the other deaths that have happened since then, all the rioting, and you know what I've had to do? Just had to step away from it all. Because I had to be mindful of what I was allowing to come into my personal space, my being, because I still have to stay focused at the task that I have before me and the task that I have that's going to come. And so at one point in time, I was being overwhelmed with all of the news media stuff, and I just had to sit back and take a rest and say, you know what, I need to have some peace in my life so that I can be able to handle tomorrow's challenges. And so I'm going to say that. I'm going to handle it when it happens tomorrow.
How ridiculous do you think it gets? I mean, just as the point, you know how ridiculous my sense of humor and mind works anyway. But so there you got, you know, North Confederate Avenue. All right, so you're going to change the name of the street Confederate. Okay, remove the word Confederate. Obviously, you cannot erase history. You can erase things that remind you of history and all that. But the history itself, it doesn't go away. It happened. It is what it is. And you're supposed to learn from it, otherwise we get condemned to repeat it. But then, the case of where my office is, it's bordered by Black Street and White Street. Mm-hmm. Are they going to go after those names next? You know, I mean, where does the madness end?
Okay, so I guess you're going to pull me into it. You're pulling me. I see.
That's how I show my love. You know me.
Well, you know, if you say that, then we would say that all of the killings that have happened today should have stopped or ended.
Should have never happened.
It shouldn't, but it's continuing to happen. So why is that, Stephen? Why are the killing of, you know, African American men at a higher rate? It's still occurring.
Yeah.
Why are we finding two African American men being hung by a tree in California? Why? And so, again, we can continue to say, why are these things still happening? But they are. And you would think that as time progressed and passed on and, quote unquote, things got better, that situations would have gotten better, but it hasn't. And so we really need to get a clear understanding, and we really need to sit down again and say, we may have a lot more that alike than we do different, but why are these things still happening? And we can't say we don't. It's happening, you
yeah.
know, and it's affecting us on a day-to-day basis. You know, even though that what happened to George Floyd happened in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
But look at what it's doing to the world as a whole.
The world as a whole. You're
as
absolutely
a whole,
right.
You know, so we say things should get better, things should have gotten better, but in so many ways it's still the same.
You're right. The more things change, the more they stay the same. That's an old saying from our childhoods, but you nailed it earlier when you said love is the answer. I believe that. I know you believe that, and that's what unites us. That's the many things that unite us all. Love is still the answer.
That's right.
Rock Hill City Councilwoman Nikita Jackson, a pleasure. I told you, we'll fly right by. It's the Nikita Jackson Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Manning, you hear that, don't you?
Trust me, he does. Straight Talk brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at andersongriggs.com, and we broadcast live from Substation 2 here on Cherry Road across from Winthrop, home of the fresh subs and salads that Councilwoman Jackson and I are going to enjoy here in just a moment. They do it the most magical way. It is
slice, 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 garden, garden, garden.
There you go. We'll see you tomorrow on Straight Talk. We will have T.K. Kennedy, principal of Legion Collegiate Academy, joining us.